Chuck Lindahl's been here several times, at least once a year. We try to have him come with us. He's got a special friend I'll have him introduce also in a moment. But I want to give a background again for those that are newer to our church. I first met Chuck, I think about 1997, 98. The Holy Spirit put China on my heart to start praying for that land. And so through Dick Bashtu, who had a ministry in Louisiana, I joined a team of his to go hand out tracts and do tracting in a place called Xi'an, China, where there's a great wall. In fact, the Terracotta Warriors are not far from there. And we did tracting at 1 o'clock in the morning, midnight, and so forth. Had three of our guys arrested, and this great adventures took place there for God in Xi'an and also Beijing. And just had some great times there. But this man ministered in a place called Kunming, China, which is down in the southeast part of the nation, right above Laos and Vietnam area. There's many missionaries, several missionaries in that place. He's established an international church that right now runs about 200 people, I think, on Sunday mornings. People all over the world that are missionaries come together Sunday mornings and worship and praise God. Then they go out and do their works throughout the whole week and even beyond that as well. This man's responsible to have the raising up of about 3 Bible schools. He's ministering heavily not just in southern China to the unreached people of China, but also in Tibet and also now in Vietnam. He'll be joining us by faith for a trip for the first time to Burma, which is now called Myanmar. Get these nations mixed up. It is called Myanmar. We'll be there by faith the end part of October with Chuck, with probably Pastor Walter Henderson and Curtis Baker, our superintendent, doing a leadership conference there for some people in a place called Rangoon. And then we're going to try to branch out in due time into Vietnam as well. This guy's already got several hundred pastors and leaders raised up in Vietnam for the work of God. His wife is a Malaysian, and they both speak the language fluently there for China. They got their son here today. His name is Chris, and we appreciate Chris coming back here, Christopher, with us today. So let's go ahead and give a warm welcome here, and let's greet Chuck Lindahl as he comes, ministers today, and shares from God's word his heart.
Pastor. Amen. How you doing this morning?
Yes.
It's nice to be back in the wonderful country of Texas. I better watch myself. This is enemy's territory down here. Enemy's territory. Hostile. It's hostile in this place. A lot of Harley hogs going around, you know, hogging around the area. But praise the Lord. He is good. And I'm so glad that God uses whoever is willing. Amen? Whoever is willing. Not able. Sometimes we're just so messed up. But whoever is willing to say, yes, Lord, here am I. Here's my life. Here's this empty shell of mine. Here's what I have. And here's a whole lot of what I don't have. And here I am, Lord. Send me. Make me a prophet to the nations. Send me down into Austin and make me a prophet of the city. Amen? Use me. Lord, I'll go. If no one wants to go, I'll go, Lord. Amen? No one wants to be your warrior, Lord. I'll be your warrior. I don't got much to give you. I don't got much intelligence, but I'm willing to follow your spirit. If you just speak to me, let me hear your voice. Show me where to go, what to do, what to say. Here I am. Send me. Amen. Amen. Come on, give me an amen today. Woo! We preach with, you know, we've got these Chinese that they'll... Man, they're amen like every other word, you know, and hallelujah after every phrase. So I'm used to a lot of hallelujahs and a lot of amens, you know. And you think about Chinese people, and you think about small, little, timid people. I'm gonna tell you what, man. If you put 1,000 Chinese on a Harley hog, they will run you down every day. I mean, they might be little people, but they are power-packed people. I mean, especially if you get them in a car or something that has power or inertia or energy. I mean, they turn into different people. And I tell you what, whenever they get filled with the Holy Spirit and whenever they get their life turned on for Jesus, they might be these little dudes, man, but they are giants in the Spirit. Amen. And we are giant. When God invades our life and we allow him to just take over, we become giants in the spirit, amen? We become them warriors that go into a place and seek for a soul to save, amen? Like a headhunter going in, I'm going to find me some people, and I'm going to get them saved. I'm going to get them saved. I'm going to get them baptized. I'm going to see the Holy Spirit change them from inside out. He may have been a little liar yesterday, but today he's telling the truth, amen? He may have been someone with no future yesterday, but today, when he's got the Holy Spirit, he's got Jesus in him, he's got purpose, he's a different human being today. Amen? We're different when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. I believe that. I believe that we are full of the Holy Spirit. We become saved. Our spirit cries out to him, Abba, Father. We have him. And when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in tongues, we get full of the power. The power starts to release out of us. Amen? And that's where God wants his church to go. He wants us to be people full of dynamite-like power. I remember once I was walking around our Bible school in Pennsylvania. I went to Bible school in a small, humble Bible school in a place called Tarentum. If you blinked your eyes, you'd miss it. And my uncle planted a church there. It ended up being about 1,000 people. And I remember one day, I was walking down the hall, and we called him Pappy. He's my uncle, but he's so old, we call him Pappy. He's 82 this year. And he says, Chucky, if you knew how much power was in that Bible under your arm, boom, it would blow your arm right off. Dynamite-like power. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what makes the difference between a wind blower, amen, someone that just blows wind, amen, and someone who knows Jesus, knows the transformation power that can go from this life to that life, amen, a life for a life. When we go to China, we go head hunting, soul hunting. We go for souls. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. You a dummy? Go win some souls. Yeah, go win some souls. You want wisdom? Go get someone saved. And you get a little smarter as it goes along. Amen? He who wins souls is wise. You lack wisdom, the Bible says what? Ask God. He'll generously give it to you. He'll give you wisdom. And I believe in these days, in the church in America, that God wants us to become warriors, from wimps to warriors, amen? From cowards to valiant warriors. You know, and here's the thing about missions. You can have every strategy in the whole book down to the T, but if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and a warrior for Jesus, all them strategies don't mean nothing. They don't save no one. They don't help nobody. They're just a bunch of plans drawn up on a map. Without the life of the Spirit and the active warrior in you, nothing happens. No one gets saved. You know what I'm talking about? You know, we go in, we've taken this mentality, this warrior mentality into our ministry. And when we go for an outreach, we go to an area to take the area over. Amen? We work in the Himalayan mountains around these tribal people who have been in worshiping idols all their life. It's all they know. Bowing down to idols. Giving money to statues. Thinking they can burn something in front of that, or that kid might get healed or touched. And these are people that are in darkness. And they need someone. Amen? They need a warrior to go in and fight for their soul, to take back what's God's. Amen? This city's God's, and he wants to take it back. But he's not going to take it back. He's going to use you and me, amen? He's just not going to go, and it's going to happen. He's going to raise us up, amen? His warriors, his end-time prophets that will go and prophesy to those along the street, that'll go into a restaurant and look someone in their face and give them a word of knowledge about their future and tell them that God's going to come through. Amen. Warriors that aren't afraid to speak for the Jesus they love and they say they worship Sunday morning. People that are willing, uninhabited, unhindered by their pride, unhindered by what they're going to look like, unhindered by what people are going to say about them. Go into the enemy's face and speak to him and prophesy life to people. Amen. You can do it. You've been called to do it. You've been born again to do it. Amen. That's why you needed born again, so you could become a warrior for Jesus. Go on the behalf as an ambassador for Jesus Christ from a different citizenship, with a different passport, with a different name. Abram went from Abram to Abraham. Amen. God gave you a different name, a warrior for his kingdom, to go and fight. Fight for souls. I can see the dwellers that dwell in the Himalayas. I can see them every day in my spirit. I see them in my mind's eye every day. Every day. Those that are just trapped. Trapped in traditionalism. Trapped in poverty. Trapped without hope. I see them in my spirit every day. And I envision myself as a valiant warrior of God. Amen. Can you see yourself? Can you see yourself not as you are now, but see yourself as a warrior fighting for Jesus? Can you see yourself fighting for that kid that's on heroin? Fighting for that daughter that's out prostituting herself? Fighting for them. Preaching the word, praying, believing God, he's going to do it. Amen. You got to convince yourself that the word of God's true, and it will work for you as it works for me. Amen? It works for Pastor Mike and Cheryl. It will work for you the same way. You've got to work it in your life. You've got to get serious about being a warrior for Jesus. Because when you become a warrior, you become a different person. You don't just become someone who warms a church pew. You become an enemy of our enemy, Satan. You become somebody that he is scared of. Amen? Amen? Someone that's in his way and won't get out of his way. Jesus was tempted 40 days, 40 nights in the desert. It says in Luke chapter 4, he was led by the Spirit into the desert. Anybody live in a desert? Anybody feel like they're in a desert? A bunch of sand in your face, dry mouth, cotton mouth, like what I got right now. Living in a desert, dried up, knowing you need strength from the Lord. But Jesus, he was tempted. 40 days, 40 nights. The devil came to him, wanted him to kill himself, tempted him. But it says, Satan left him at the end there. See, the warrior came out of Jesus. Satan, he didn't know who he was dealing with. When he saw a warrior, when he passed the test, Jesus, Satan looked at him and just said, I'm out of here. I am out of here. This dude is a warrior. I will not get through him. And then the verse next at the end says that Jesus left the desert full of power, full of power, full of power, full of power. And I'm talking about Holy Ghost power, power that can transform people you never knew could be transformed. We're seeing them little monks that hum in them temples and them nice jaded orange and red clothing that hum all day. Those ones you see on videos, you think, how are they ever going to get saved? How will they ever come to Christ? Guess what? They're coming. They're coming to Christ. We have 5 converted monks in our ministry. One who is an apostle. Amen? One who is an apostle. He will send 50 Tibetans come this November. He has 50 Tibetans We go in there, we teach them, we fire them up, and we send them. Amen. You're going to be a warrior, you better get your boots on. Amen. You better get your Holy Spirit shoes. You better get ready to go. Go and rescue. Rescue. Gideon. Gideon was called. It was the weakest tribe of Israel, his tribe. The weakest tribe. And God picked Gideon to deliver Israel out of the Midianites' hands. Israel fell into worshiping idols. And guess what God had to do? He had to find a warrior. He didn't go and he'd look for someone that had all their hair combed right. He didn't go and look for someone who crossed their T's and dotted their I's. He went and he found the lowest scumball he could find. He filled him. The Spirit of God came on him, and he became mighty and valiant for God. Which got me back to my point I was trying to make. We're not only filled with the Spirit, and we speak in tongues, but there are times, I believe, people, that the Spirit of God comes on us, and we do mighty acts of valiancy for God. David's mighty men, you can hardly believe it when you read it. One man, I forget his name, it's like this big, long, it's like speaking in tongues. He killed 800 men, 800 men in one setting. They had to get the sword. It clave to his hand. It stuck to his skin. He was such a radical warrior. They had to get it and rip the sword after he slayed 800 people. Could you imagine 800 people in front of you right now? 800 people, and he took every one of them out for the glory of God and won back Israel. They slayed 120,000 slayed by 300 men. I think when God calls the church into revival, he calls us to be warriors. Amen? You want to be a warrior today for Jesus? You want to be a warrior? You've got to stand up in front of the devil and let him know how you think. Amen? I brought my young boy today, Christopher. Stand up, Chris. Chris is 14, right? Are you 14? You're 14. Chris is 14. And several years back, the devil tried to attack my son, gave him some seizures. And we're fighting the battle. Right, Chris? And we're winning the battle. We're winning the battle. I don't care what doctor tells me what. I know my Bible tells me by his stripes I was healed. It is my God-given right. Some people don't like that word, but it is my God-given right. It is your God-given right to walk in health and wholeness. Amen? And the reason I say it, it's your God-given right, is because Jesus gave you the right. Amen? In John 1:14, he gave us the right. He gave us the authority, the right to become sons and daughters of God, the right to become a warrior that will go heal the sick, cast out the devils, plant God's church where it has not been. That's what the mission is. Go where no gospel has been. Lord, if it's not there, please send me. I'll go. I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. God knows I'll eat anything you give me. Yeah. Wherever he leads, he feeds. Wherever he guides, he provides. And I want to tell you something. God is alive and well in communist China. He is on the throne and he is ruling and reigning in the nations. And the tribals, those that have never heard him, are hearing his name. And they're coming to him. Now, I'll give you a testimony, a proof of this. Just a little testimony. We're just a small ministry that just believes God for souls. We're a bunch of Western Pennsylvanian hicks. That's all we are. That got Bibles under our arms. We love Jesus. We love Jesus. In February, my uncle, bless his soul, Pappy, 82-year-old man of God. Aunt Gloria died 5, 6, maybe 8 years ago now. But Pappy, he keeps trucking. He and I tried to find some young men. I couldn't find them to go on a mission trip. I was paying too, and they weren't coming. So I called Pappy. He's a warrior. And we went in there. We had 130 men and some women. We went in there. We had our team. We were in a city in a Sichuan province in the Himalayas, right on the Himalayas, right in there, tucked in there. And we had our 130. We had already had a base, rented an apartment for a base for follow-up. Our brothers there prayed for 6 months. 6 months of intercessory prayer. Talk about warriors wielding the sword. 6 months of prayer. And then we showed up in February, Pappy and I, and the troops come together. They were in a room about this size, and we just began to preach to them. We began to teach to them. Those that weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, amen, began to prophesy. And we just told them, go. Now you go. You go and you get as many people as you can get saved. You preach what you know. You hand out what you can hand out. If the police arrest you, just keep preaching. They did. We got about five of them. We had a team. Check this out. We had a team get arrested. Every one of them got arrested. And then the cops said, you can't hand this literature out. They said, okay, take the literature. Can we say anything verbally with our mouth? Sure, do what you want. They won five entire families to Jesus Christ in 2 days. Our teams went out, 130 of them, in 2 days. 158 E people and Arsu, who are Tibetan, came to Jesus Christ in 2 days. In 2 days. That's the warrior spirit. That's the warrior anointing that the church needs to come up to a higher level to reach this world. There is just some cases out there. They are not going to come to some of our churches. They are just so out there that they need someone to look them in the face and tell them about life. Someone who will be daring enough to maybe take a smack in the face. We have a preacher, his name's Law. Brother Law, he was out, he told me, him and a bunch of, have 20 or 25 of his best workers, and they were out preaching the gospel, and they came across this man's house, and he was a tankerous individual, and he was opposed to the message that Law was speaking. So he came up to Law and smacked him right in his face. 25 of his best men, best warriors. And Brother Law turned around and he said, please, kindly, sir, smack my other face for the sake of Jesus. I couldn't do that. I'd have smacked that man in his face so hard he'd hit the ground. That'd have been my fleshly warrior coming out of me. He'd hit the ground so hard he'd have bounced up and got saved probably. I don't know. God uses everything, you know. You never know, right? Hit someone so bang, so hard. But Brother Law, man, he turned around, smacked me in my other face. That guy didn't. End of story. He got saved and his whole household got saved over a smack in the face. Whew! We had some other brothers. Last December, we were holding a training. We had about 50 folk in there. And the cops descended upon them, arrested about 25 of them, all the main leaders, threw them in prison. One brother, older brother, got on his knees and just prayed. Cop come up to him and smacked him right in his face and said, please, smack me in my other face. And he just sat for a week, he prayed on his knees. They begin to minister. People begin to get saved. After the week, the police were so disgusted with them because they know they'd take a bullet tomorrow for Jesus. It's no problem for them. Kindly take a bullet for Jesus tomorrow. They were so disgusted with them, the cops threw them out of the prison. Get out of here, bunch of troublemakers. They were warriors. Those are warriors that make a difference in their community. These are people that aren't afraid of their lives. These are people that don't care. They're not going to, if they're poor or not, it don't matter to them. They're on a mission from God to save souls, to rescue them from the fire of hell. People have never heard. They're so fired up to go. Get them. Can you feel what I'm talking about today? Can you feel it in your spirit? Don't you want to become someone that don't give a good hoot about what people think? Huh? Amen? Tell them about Jesus. Get in their face. Man, Americans are opinionated about everything all day long. We know that. It don't matter to me. Jesus is still on the throne. God's still the king. Amen? You might say something that just might have a chain reaction that goes right through a family and a whole network of families get saved. You might say one thing that just breaks the ice for someone because you're willing to open your mouth and be valiant and fearless. When I think about China, when I think about our brothers who get persecuted, that's the first word that comes into my mind, fearless. They are fearless. They don't fear their life. If they go and die, it don't matter to them. They're willing to go for Jesus every day of the week. On a lighter note, I figure if you're going to be a warrior, you're going to need something to wheel at the devil. There's some gifts. Amen. Now, don't blow your nose with that. That's a terrible towel. Yeah. Amen. We got a terrible enemy, but we got a powerful Lord. We have an enemy that tries to roar around. It says he's like a roaring lion. It didn't say he was. He's like a roaring lion. He's a lion without teeth. He'll gum you to death. Now, if you want to give him teeth, just listen to him. Now, if you really want to give him teeth, do what he tells you to do. Now, if you want him to just gum you to death all day, be a warrior. Smack him. He is our enemy. Sometimes we're our worst enemies ourselves. But I'm going to tell you, when you go down that warrior path and you start to want to see souls saved and you begin to open your mouth, the devil won't like it. He will attack you. He'll try to attack you. He'll throw all kinds of obstacles in your way. You don't know some of the trouble I've gone in my life. I won't even go there. The devil's tried to stop me so many times. Just in the airport. I mean, I got to Pittsburgh. I'm going out of Pittsburgh, you know, modern airport. We get there. I'm going on a mission to Vietnam. I got 200 leaders waiting for me. That's over 20,000 people. And the pilot doesn't show up that day. I mean, has anybody ever taken a flight where they come out and say, "Excuse me, sir, the pilot didn't decide to come today"? Have you ever had that done to you? I mean, that's demonic, man. It is. It's crazy. I mean, come on, man. Tell me an engine broke or something like it. Don't tell me some pilot got drunk and hung over and don't want to. Come on, man. Coming down here. We get to the airport, my boy and I, and then the plane's on the tarmac, and you're thinking, praise God, the plane's here. Yeah, the plane's there, but the engine's blown up. Yeah, they had to bring a guy 5 hours from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, while he and I sat there going for like hours and hours and hours and hours. I could have been to China. I'm serious. It took me from, we left at 5:30 in the morning yesterday, and we got here at 7. You count the hours. But guess what? Warriors don't give up. They don't care about that crap. It doesn't slow me down. You can have that plane on the tarmac for eternity. It don't matter to me because God's going to find a way. He's going to find a way to get me to where I got to go because I want to fight for him, and I want to fight for the souls, and I want to see the kingdom of God grow. What about you? What about you? You want to be a warrior for Jesus? Huh? Grow some teeth. grow some grit. Get a terrible towel. In Jeremiah chapter 1, this is sort of a description of what our ministry is and what it's becoming. And God's been giving me people like Tom Ledbetter. Tom, why don't you stand up? Tom is a real warrior for Jesus. Yes, he was. Where were you born? Waco. Were you born in Waco? A wacko from Waco. A wacko for Jesus. Prophesying, devil stomping, tongue talking. And he don't give you any lip either on a mission trip. Yeah. Although he's a warrior, he's a humble warrior. I remember we were on a trip, and Tom, man, he gets words. He just doesn't jump up and blab his mouth off. He submit his word. He's a warrior. He's a humble warrior, and he'll speak the word. We were in China, man. He was speaking words over people's lives he never saw in his life, and God was using him in a mighty way. And God's raised him up. He's got a ministry called Gravity, Kingdom Gravity. Sucking people into the kingdom prophetically. Give someone a good prophetic punch in the gut. Thus saith the Lord. My dad does it all the time. He goes into restaurants, man. My dad's this big German dude. I mean, he's a monster. He goes, I mean, he might be 5 foot round right now. My old man. He's huge. Huge man. Big German guy. You put meat in front of him, it's gone. He could just keep eating. I don't know how he does it, okay? But he's an interesting guy, you know? A lot of people don't like to go out of their way to talk to him because he's a big dude and he looks mean. But he's not. He's not a mean guy. He'll go into a restaurant and he'll pray and he'll look at the woman and then he'll prophesy. And he'll tell her what her life is and she'll melt right in his hands. Like wax. And he'll give her the word and she'll get saved. And then he'll give her a big tip. Yeah, he will give her. He gives money out all the time. My dad. But he's a warrior. He's not afraid. He's not afraid to tell and talk to people. Don't be afraid. The devil wants to put fear in your life and he wants to shut your mouth. Because out of your mouth can come blessing. Out of your mouth can come future plans for other people. Out of your mouth. God said there was light. Let there be light. There was light. The words of God spoken through us are creative words. And God wants to use you to bring forth his creativity through his word, through you. Amen? Amen? I'll give you an example of this. I was in a youth rally once, and I was just speaking in tongues, minding my own business. And there was this one rebellious boy in the group, and for whatever reasons, every time I spoke in tongues, I yelled out his name. And then he'd look over, and I was just speaking in tongues. And then I'd speak in tongues, and bang, I'd yell out. He heard his name coming out of this mouth. I didn't even know the guy's name. Okay? God knew his name. And you know what? Years later, he was in our church. I had already been on the mission field, unfamiliar with what was going on in the church. He came up to me and thanked me. Brother Chuck, I want to thank you for changing my life. I'm like, what do you mean, man? He goes, remember that youth conference? I was at rebellious kid. Oh yeah, I remember you now. He goes, I don't know if you remember, you were everybody went up and you stood back and you spoke in tongues but you yelled out my name. He goes, that night my life changed. After that I went to Bible school. I've been to Bible school and now I'm a full-time minister for the gospel. You never know what can come out of your mouth to change a situation. Amen. The good that can come forth out of your warrior spirit that can touch someone's life forever. So in Jeremiah, our ministry is sort of like this, starting with verse 4. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in your womb, I knew you. Before I was born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And I believe that God has appointed this house as a prophetic voice, not only to Austin and the surrounding communities, but a prophetic voice to the nations. Amen? A voice and a team that will go in and rescue souls, change atmospheres, change whole valleys, whole regions for Christ. A prophetic, I send you, I appoint you as a prophet, a prophetic voice to the nations. And I believe that's coming out of this. God wants to bring this church into a prophetic warfare church to the nations. Amen? That goes, gets the word of God, takes the plan of God, and begins to speak it. Go into a region that's never had Christ, put a stake in the ground. I've actually literally done that. A stake. I've taken and I pound it in the ground. And I say, God, this is your people. This is your land. I get this stake and I stake this territory out. It might sound stupid and crazy, but it's a proclamation that sets things into motion. It doesn't happen until you say it, until you proclaim it out of yourself, till God gives it to you. Jeremiah, the word of God came to me. Have you ever had the word of God come to you? It just comes to you. God says something to you. Something gets in your spirit. And you become a proclamator. When you proclamate the things and the words that God gives you, it begins to change the places and people you go to. Prophetic proclamators. I send you to the nations. Verse 6, O sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm still figuring that one out. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. Don't say to yourself, I only know so much of the Bible. I only know so much of this theology. Lord, how can you use me? I don't know enough. Well, do you know him? Do you know him? You might know a lot, but if you don't know him, you're still a windbag in my book. Amen? You got to know him. You got to know him. And when you know him and when you speak with power because you know whom you speak from. Amen? He drives shotgun with you. When you get in the car, you get on that Harley hog, he's on the back holding on. He is. Hey, man, you get on that plane, he buckles up right behind, right with you, man. He's with you all the time. Feel his presence. Feel his presence. Touch his presence. He's with you. He's with me. And we go and proclaim. He makes a way. He makes a way for us. In 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and to say, go and say, go and say. Because when you say, you create something. A chain reaction starts to happen when you proclaim what God's proclaiming. Amen? If you want to just go say what you want to say, you know, you can go sign up for CBN or CNN. Right? And you can say what you want to say all day. But you say what the Lord wants you to say. And you go as an ambassador. Right? What's the ambassador do? He says what the president tells him to say. Shut your mouth on everything else. And you say what I tell you to say. In Gideon, he had those 300 warriors. They didn't know nothing about spiritual fighting. They were real warriors that killed men and women, okay? But they didn't know how to fight spiritually. And here's what Gideon said. Just do what I tell you. You read it. It's in Judges chapter 7. Just do what I tell you. You go right, I go right, you go right. You pull out that bottle with the candle in it, break it, you break it. I blow the trumpet, you blow the trumpet. How hard could it be? And that's where warriors are born. Through the example of other great warriors that go out and you listen. And when someone gives you a command, you speak. When the Lord's command comes to you and you speak his commands, you speak his words to the people, the breakthrough comes. Amen. You don't speak your opinion. You don't speak your attitude. You don't speak your culture. You speak the kingdom. The kingdom words come forth and things start to happen. You got to get a hold and you got to hear. Hear from Jesus. Hear from God. Sit down and be quiet and hear from him. And he will give you your marching orders. Amen. You got to get ready. You're ready. You got to get your shoes, your boots on. You got to get your Holy Ghost armor on. My wife, she's crazy, man. She makes us put our armor on every day. You know, it's like when your mom told you to brush your teeth. I still don't do much of that anymore. Yeah, the doctors told me, he said, your teeth are the hardest teeth I've ever seen in my entire life. You will never have another cavity in your whole life. That's what the dentist told me. So I said, I'll take that one. I hadn't been to the dentist for 20 years. No teeth have fallen out yet. Where was I? Huh? My wife, she lines us up every morning. We're putting on the armor. You know, we get the armor on every day. You get your armor on, belt of truth, plate of the sword of the Spirit, all the stuff, man. You know, read Ephesians. Okay? That's the easy part. That's the easy part. See, when you're ready, then God, then you got to sit around and listen to the command, right? And you get the command. You get something from God. And then you got to get ready. You got to get up. And you got to go. And you got to fight. Fight. That's what you got to do. A lot of Christians sit around. They got their armor on. It's getting rusty. Rusty armor. And they're not hearing nothing. And they're out doing what they want to do. You want to do what you want to do. God ain't going to speak to you. And a lot of people say, oh, I'm so afraid that God's going to make me do something I don't want to do. Guess what? He'll never make you do something you don't want to do. He'll get you so fired up, you're going to want to do everything he wants you to do. Amen? Amen? You get so, oh, God, show me what you want me to do now. I got some plans to go down to my Harley Hog, down to the Thunder in the Valley next week, and I'm going to do some ministry. But Lord, if you want to change my path, you want me to go somewhere else, I'm willing to go anywhere you call me to go. Because when you tell me to do something, you anoint me to do it. I might be a dummy otherwise, but if you get me that anointing, you get me that power, and I walk not in my own word, not in my own purposes, not in my own proclamations, but I walk in yours, I know I'm going to be a winner. I know I'm going to be a winner. Amen? And if I don't give up, amen? Winners never get up. Quitters never win. Quitters never win. Winners never give up. You might not have it all what it all takes, but if you cannot give up on your family, if you cannot give up on that healing, if you cannot give up on the things you're believing for, I'm going to tell you, you'll win. You'll win. It takes time. Good leavened bread. You got to work it. You got to work the word. When you work the word will work for you. But you got to work the word first. You got to put some elbow grease into it. You know what I'm talking about? And then the word will work for you. It's like polished wax. You put it on a car. And if you leave the wax on the car and you drive around town, get a lot of dust in there. Yeah, it's not shiny, right? You got to work that wax. You got to put that wax in. And you got to work it. And then it works for you. You don't put it on and all of a sudden, presto magic. You know all that stuff they sell on TV? Spray it 10 minutes, it's nice. All that stuff, crap. None of it works. You know, I know. Okay, you got to put some elbow grease. You want to work it? You want it to make it work? You got to work it, and then it'll work for you. Okay? That's how the Word of God is. We went out on Visa cards. Our pastor promised us $50 a month as missionaries. I couldn't feed a dog on $50 a month. I didn't tell him that. But we had to work and go and do it. And then God meets you. Amen? He meets you. As you're working the word in your life, as you're speaking grace, as you're speaking mercy, you're proclaiming. See, the proclamated word, we underestimate it. We don't speak it enough. I've seen whole tribes come to Christ through the proclamated word. I'll give you a testimony of a prophetic thing that happened to Tom and I. We were endeavoring to go out to reach this group. They're called the Arsu. And we didn't know where they lived, sort of had an idea, didn't exactly know all the stuff, but we had a word from God to go take a team and proclaim in this valley, out in the Himalayas in Sichuan. So we get our team there, and we begin to pray the first day we get there, and the Lord prophetically gave us a word. It was a strange word because we thought, man, we're in the middle of nowhere. The Lord spoke to us, and he says, my body is present in this place, and I have sent you here to activate my body. Wait a minute, Lord, this is an unreached people group, we thought, right? So we're thinking, okay, here we are. God, you're going to have to make that happen. So we went out into the streets and we began to pray through this town, speaking in tongues, proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming, calling the souls into the kingdom of God, proclaiming, ripping down the kingdoms of darkness with our mouth, proclaiming. Well, another brother on the team, a Chinese brother who had not even heard this prophetic word, God speaks to him and says, I have a man for you in the city you want to meet, that I'm going to have you meet. Call this so-and-so brother. He knows him. Just hears the word of God. Call so-and-so brother. Gets a phone number. Sure enough, there is an E man. They're called the E people. There's 2.5 million of them in this region. This E person, a brother, he calls. Sure enough, he lives there. An hour after we got that prophetic word, I have sent you to this place. My body is here. I have sent you here to activate my body. 1 hour later, you can verify that, Tom, this man, this E warrior, walks into my hotel room and his mouth hits the floor and he says, I know you. I've been to some of your trainings out in other provinces. We've met before. I didn't know him from a bar of soap. But he says, guess what? We have 1,000 Christians in this city. I've been working here all alone. And God, now, he has sent you here now to help me. He had 1,000 Christians in that little valley, all unreached around him. And God hooked us in, amen? Hooked us in. And we're now helping him. And we're believing for 5,000 souls in the next 5 years for that church plant. Isn't that wonderful that you can get the word of God and it can lead you. It can lead you to go and open the doors for the unreached. In Vietnam, miraculously God opened doors for us. I met a little Vietnamese dude. His name's An. And he's just a loving brother. And his mentor is named Duck. And Duck has been living in the jungles for 20 years. Imagine this man, 20 years, being ridiculed and he's been beaten. But he's never given up. He's got 20,000 believers on the border of Vietnam and Laos. Just 3 years ago, they invited me. They opened their, they never worked with any foreigners ever in their whole entire life. And I met them. And they opened their entire network, and they brought their leaders in. And here's what they told: we need a fresh spirit. We need more power. None of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit. None of them prophesied. They didn't know any of the gifts of the Bible. None of them didn't have a clue. And they were begging us to teach them these things. And we began to teach the first time. I went with my older son, Jared, and there was a breakthrough there. There was a breakthrough there. And then the second time, last year, Pappy and I, my uncle, we went up there, and it was wonderful. 200 leaders showed up. They wanted to bring, they had many more leaders to come, but in Vietnam, being the situation, we could have been busted. So they got 200 people in there, and an interesting thing that I found out. A man asked me. He says, when someone gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, does another person necessarily have to lay hands on them? And I said, well, scripturally, we see it both ways. We see one, Paul laying hands on people, they've spoken tongues, right? And then we see where in Cornelius' home, where the Holy Spirit came on them after they became believers, Peter preached the word, and they spoke in different tongues and prophesied. So I say, no. And It was interesting. The Asians are not as the huggy types. You know, you hug an Asian man, he turns into a popsicle. It's just how some of them are, for the most part. And that's just their culture. So I figured that out. And I said, everyone stand up right now and receive the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands up and receive them. 200 people stood up, lifted their hands up and received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues for their first time. Not one person touched them. I'll tell you who touched them. Jesus touched them. The Holy Spirit touched them. We were talking and speaking about healing. As we were preaching and teaching on healing, there were several testimonies of a wife and a boy who got healed at home the very hour we were talking about healing. It was the first time they ever heard that we could heal the sick. And just the faith that brought forth in their hearts healed people back home. Isn't that wonderful that God is doing these type of things in the earth? I'm going to try to get through this scripture. What time do you guys button up? Okay. I'm going to be buttoning my mouth here soon. In verse 9, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. And he said to me, don't you want him to just reach out and touch your mouth? Feel his presence. Go home and pray and get in the presence of God and say, Lord, could you just reach out? Reach out and touch this mouth of mine so that I can go and speak something that'll change an atmosphere, a town, a city, a family. Touched his mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, overthrow, to build up and to plant. And that is the mission of the church, to go, to uproot, to go and destroy the enemy. Destroy him. We have war. It says we have the weapons of our war are valiant. They're powerful to destroy, to destroy. Go and destroy the kingdom of Satan through intercessory prayer, through going to that land and putting your foot down and saying, no more, devil. These people are yours. And I'm here to proclaim the kingdom of God, and no one's going to stop me. If I go down, 1,000 will come behind me. Amen? If I take a bullet in the head, there'll be 1,000 more that'll be willing to take a bullet in the head. Satan has ruled long enough in the nations, and now he's calling us to go, to destroy, uproot, and then to build and to plant the kingdom of Jesus Christ where it's never been. Don't you want to be a part of something like that? Don't you want to be a part of something that's bigger than you? Amen? Bigger than you, bigger than what you can imagine? I do. I want to be a part of something that's bigger than me. I want to be a small part of a big thing. I don't want to be a big part of a little thing. I want to be a little part of the big picture. Because we all play a part. We're all unique in all our ways. Amen? Just because you haven't been to Bible school, just because you can't preach or talk or teach, it doesn't make a difference. Amen? Are you willing today? Are you willing to stand up for souls? Are you willing to say, God, give me a heart. When I think about those people, I break down and I cry. When I think about those people ruining their lives, I sit home and I think and I cry to myself and say, God, make a way they can come to know you. Use me, Lord, as a vessel of honor that will give honor to your name and glory to your kingdom. Use me that would build not my own kingdom, not my own ministry, but your kingdom, your ministry. It's yours, Lord. I'm your bondservant. Use me. Do you have a heart like that? God wants you to have one. God wants to give you a warrior heart that cries for the people, that weeps when they see someone stuck in a life that's going nowhere. Jesus can bring you out of it, give you a new life, give you a new hope, give you a new direction. When I got saved, man, I was eating every pill, drinking every type of booze you can imagine. And there one day I sat down, I said, God, if you're there, help me. Help me because I can't help myself. Help me, Lord. And he helped me and he touched my life. He changed me around. I was the worst student in our school. I had the worst, man, I was a class clown. I could talk a teacher into a D. I could. I said, man, I got an E. You got to give me a D. I'm not leaving today without a, forget about a C. Just give me the D. I got to get out of this place. Yeah. You got to be convincing with your words. And you've got to use the word of God to slay the enemy, to build the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. I want to show you a video today. I'm going to show you two, but I got running at the mouth. I want to show you this China video. This is Pappy and I in China, my uncle. This was just taken in February, and there's 130 brothers and sisters you'll see on it getting ready for this send out in Feb. So go ahead and throw that up there. We'll look. It's only about 7 minutes. You guys got 7 minutes? You got 7 minutes to be warriors? Pappy. Amen. Get him, Pappy. Woo. In the Himalayas, right by Tibet, border of Tibet. A city without a soul, but it's going to have one. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All glory to the Lord. He is the King of the nations. The nations are coming and bowing and finding their destiny. You know, as we were watching that, I'm going to leave this with you, and I'm going to, Pastor Mike, come up. When Joshua took over Israel, here's all they said to him. Be courageous. You have to be bold and courageous. That's all they said to him. And these men that were with Joshua, here's what they said. If anyone laid a hands on him, anybody touches you, we'll kill him. Just be bold and be courageous. Anybody messes with you, they mess with us. That's the type of guys I want to hang out with. Just be bold. Amen? Stand to your feet right now. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Lord, we just lift our hands to you. And today, we ask you to put a war spirit in us, a warrior spirit in us, that we will not take no for an answer, that we will go into our communities. We will go fearlessly, and we will put a stake in the ground, and we will say, this is my community. Satan, get your hands off of it. These are the Lord's people. He died for them. Lord, make us warriors today. Make us passionate warriors that love you and see the pathetic condition of the soul of man. Raise us up in your presence, Lord. Make us radical people, Lord. Yes, the world might mock us, but we know, Lord, there's souls that are hungry and looking for the real thing. They haven't found it in Pepsi-Cola. They haven't found it in Coca-Cola. It's not the real thing. And Lord, we ask you, help us. Help us, Lord, to serve the real thing to the peoples of the world that so desperately need you, Lord. Use us today. May we be bold. May we be courageous for you, for the sake of your kingdom and your son. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.